Okay. Good evening. So from the picture on the front, obviously yours, Danny, you're holding yours upside down. But has a picture on the front and the back. But the question is, if someone's going to Israel, and in Israel he finds out the apartment that he's going to be staying in has the water which is heated up in it by a Dud Shemesh. A Dud Shemesh, just to explain it, you could actually look at the back page, because I knew you were just ahead of the game. The back page describes how it works. Dud Shemesh is, Dud literally means a tank, and the Shemesh means the sun. So if you see, there's this picture over here. This one's actually colored, which describes it. We're going to see later throughout at the end of this year in more detail of exactly how it works. But for the most part, what we have to know here is that the water runs from the tank through this panel. There's a bunch of copper pipes in this panel. The water from the tank runs through that and gets heated up by the sun. So we'll describe in great detail later exactly how it works. But for the most part, throughout most of the year, the hot water that is used in most apartments in Israel is heated up directly by the sun. You don't need any electricity to heat it up. It literally gets heated up by the sun. In the cold winter months, when it's actually cold, sun doesn't work in Yerushalayim. It could be it still works in Tel Aviv. But in Yerushalayim and most other places, it's not hot enough. The sun is not strong enough to heat the water up. But the question...
Is it similar to a solar?
It's similar idea to a solar.
Got it.
Produces energy.
Got it.
This doesn't produce energy. This just takes the heat from the sun and heats up the water. It looks like a solar panel, as you can see.
Got it.
But that's really the idea. So before we actually get into that specific shayla, we're going to give some background on what the malacha of bishul is. Now, I want to just give a quick disclaimer as we start here. The packet has like 12 pages in it. And I don't remember how many sources, a lot of sources with a tremendous amount of words. We're not going to go through all the sources, and we're not going to go through all the words. But what we're going to discuss here is the main points. I underline most of the main points, and I'm going to highlight most of the points that we're going to discuss. But I want to bring us back to the background of what the malacha, what is the malacha, the action of cooking or baking on Shabbos, and we'll try to figure out whether or not one can use water that comes from a solar-powered or solar panel that heats up the water on Shabbos. So the first source is a Mishnah Maseches Shabbos. It appears in Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. That's the Mishnah that lists off the 39 Avos Malachas, and I wrote down all the Malachas in there until the Malach of Ofa. So it starts like this. It starts with Avram Chasar Achas, which is 39. Zareah is planting, Charosh is plowing, or digging, Kotzer is cutting it down, Ma'amar is remaking it into piles, Dush is when you actually, Dush, Zora, and Bora actually are all different processes in separating the different parts of the grain. And then there's Tochin, which is obviously grinding it. Merakid is sifting it after you grind it. Lush is kneading, and Ofa is baking it. So Ofa literally means to bake. Rashi points out, and the Gemara actually points this out later on, which is in source number 2, that the truth is there was all the 39 Avos Malachos. We learned them from the actions that were taken to build the Mishkan. Anything that was done in order to build the Mishkan turns into a malacha which is forbidden on Shabbos. So Rashi just asks a simple question. There was no baking in the process of building the Mishkan. You didn't bake the Mishkan. There was lechem apanim, which was part of the avoda, but the actual construction of the Mishkan was not done via baking. So why is it saying the Mishnah of baking? There was indeed cooking that was done in order to cook the herbs to get the dyes out. But why does the Mishnah write? Oh, Fasarashi explains, and he quotes the Gemara, which is source number 3, which is that the Tana of the Mishnah wanted us to be able to remember the 39 Avos Malachas in a way where there's a strategic process involved. And therefore, the Tana listed off all the Malachas in the order and the process of baking bread. So if you ever have to think, what is a Malacha? What would be a forbidden act on Shabbos? Think of how you bake bread. Now, nowadays, the way you bake bread is to go to the bakery and buy a loaf of bread, so you wouldn't really think of it. But back in the day, when things actually had to be done from scratch, so yeah, you knew you had to plant, you had to plow, you had to cut it down, you had to put it through the whole winnowing process, and then grind it, knead it, and do everything to get the loaf of bread. So you remember all those steps. That will be the way that you'll easily remember the malachos. Now that we establish that the terms are interchangeable. Ofa means to bake, bishul means to cook, tigun means to fry, tzli means to roast, but ultimately it makes no difference. Every one of those actions, which ultimately prepares food to be eaten, is forbidden under the category of bishul. But we have to still define what is bishul. What item are you taking? What are you cooking? What makes something? What changes from being raw to being cooked? So the Rambam, which is in source number 5, he writes two conditions. Number one, hamavasha al ha'ar. Someone cooks on a fire. Davar shahayim mevushal kotzarchai. Something which was already cooked. Oh, davar she'enu tzarach bishal klal potter. Two things. What you're going to cook has to be something that was not yet cooked. That's number one. Number two, it has to be something that needs to be cooked. In other words, if you take something which does not need cooking, or take something that was already cooked, that is not a malacha of bishal. The problem is that the Gemara in source number 6, which is underlined at the end, says that if you take water or oil, it's underlined, Amar of Yehuda or Shmuel, Echad Shemen, V'Echad Mayim, whether you're taking oil or water, the halacha is Yad Soled Espo, if you bring that water or that oil to the temperature of Yad Soled Espo, we will define that temperature very soon, then you have violated the Isser of Bishul. But if you are going to heat water or oil to a temperature under Yad Soled Espo, again, the temperature to be defined very soon, then it's mutter. So here's a question. Both oil and water are items that don't need to be cooked. Both of them are edible in their, I guess, quote-unquote, raw state. So why would there be a problem to take water and to heat it up? What is the advantage? What changes in water when you take it from, I don't know, say 50 degrees to 212 degrees? What's the difference? It just changes temperature. No, there's no actual change in the water. So that becomes a very big question, which is going to be relevant, because again, the discussion that we're having here is a discussion of a person has water in a tank, gets heated up by the sun, and now it comes out of his faucet. The question is there even a problem of heating up water? Now the Gemara says, yes, there is a problem of heating up water. The question is why? So we're going to present three different reasons why there may be a problem of heating up water and what the advantage of heated up water is. The first one comes from the Mishnah Brura, which is in source number 7. It's in a bracket. It's underlined. He says, Ratzalomar, after mayim ro'i l'shtiyah below bishal, even though water can be consumed without cooking it first, v'hu adin chalav, the same thing is true with milk. You don't need to cook in order to drink it. Mekomakom chayev kimin mishtabeach adei bishal, says the Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura says that since the item is improved, it is considered to be a new item. It has a new use. What you couldn't do with the water beforehand, now you can do because it's hot. What you couldn't use this water to cook beforehand, now you can because it's hot. So therefore, even though the properties of the water may stay the same, it may just be hotter than it was before, but ultimately it was improved significantly by the fact that it's hot. It now has a new use. So even though you could have consumed it earlier, this would be an exception because it has a significant improvement when it gets hot. We're going to skip the next few sources because they're going to take us a lot of time. But in source number 11, the Igle Tal goes through all the 39 Avos Malachas, and he explains every single one of them. And he explains something very interesting about water. It's underlined. He writes, V'ilu hachamen ein shtiasan litzma'o. He writes that, again, I'm not familiar with this practice, because I think we have kind of the opposite practices. But what he's saying is that in the times of the Gemara, a person drank cold water only if he was really thirsty. If he was desperate, he would take a drink of cold water. But if a person wanted to enjoy a cup of water, the way he would drink it is only if it was hot. I assume the reason for this is because many of the waters were contaminated. They didn't have the filtering systems that we have now, and you couldn't just open up the tap and get clean water out, which you could just drink. So cold water was not something that you drank when you had a choice. It's only when you're really thirsty, you don't want to dehydrate, you take cold water. But under normal circumstances, you would heat up water. So he's explaining why heating water really makes the water a desirable drink. Whereas cold water is not desirable, warm water or hot water is a desirable drink. Again, this is not something that we're familiar with, I guess because it's not something our society really agrees with. But that's what he writes. The truth is that at the end of the Sefer, and there's the Hashmatos, he actually backs down from this. But this, again, this is the idea of why there would be a concept of cooking with water, even though water is perfectly consumable, even though it's cold. The third approach that I'm going to present to you is a diuk in the Lashon, in the terminology of the Rambam. If you look in source number 14, he writes something very interesting. Look at this. He writes, Ofa kegrogros chayev. If someone bakes kegrogros, grogros is the size of a seed, kegrogros, he's chayev. So he's obligated to bring a chatas because he violated the Shabbos. And he continues, Echad ofa, whether someone baked, Echad ofa sapas, whether someone baked bread, Oh, mevashal as a michael, someone cooks a food. Oh, as a samamonim, or he cooks herbs. Oh, and he writes over here, hamachamim as a mayim. Someone warms up water. Now think about this for a second. Why couldn't the Rambam just write, Echad ofa as a pas, someone bakes bread. Oh, hamavashal as a michael, someone cooks a food. Oh, as a samamonim, or he cooks herbs. He could have just written, Oh, as a mayim, someone cooks water. Why is he using the word hamachamim, someone heats up water? In other words, he seems to be saying that the terminology of cooking, bishel, is only relevant to a food or to herbs. When it comes to water, the terminology of bishel is not appropriate. What does he change it to? Temachamim, to heating up. What would be the explanation for that? Now, I think that the answer is actually spelled out very clearly in the next words of the Rambam. Because he writes, Shir hamachamim esamayim, the amount that a person needs to heat up water in order to be chayiv, kidei lirchots behen ever katan. Enough water that you can wash the smallest limb on your body. So hold on a second. Why is it that the Rambam is saying that the shir, the quantity, of how much water you have to cook in order to be chayv to bring a chatas is the amount that you could wash one finger. Why doesn't he say it? To be a revius? Anything that you drink, if you look in the previous mission, which I skipped, things that you drink are all measured by a revius. So why is Rambam saying that the amount that you need to cook in order to be chayv to bring a chatas is the amount to wash a finger? Why doesn't he say a revius? Obviously, it must be that the Rambam understood that the only reason why somebody would be warming up water is because he wants to wash himself. So the Rambam is understanding that the reason why you're chayav for heating up water is nothing to do with eating or drinking. Rather, what you do when you heat up water is you make it something which you can now wash yourself with. So although the Rambam wrote very clearly that a person is not chayav for cooking on Shabbos, if the item is edible raw, that's only true if we're talking about food. But when we're talking about other items, or something which is not being regarded as food, it's being regarded as something you're using to wash yourself, so then the halacha would change. And since now the water is fit to be used for a shower, so now you're chayav for it. Okay, so that was something that I just wanted to get out of our way at the beginning of this year. To understand, number one, there has to be a significant purpose in what you're doing when you're doing any malacha. When it comes to cooking, it has to be that you are changing the item from being non-edible to being edible. And we could give reasons why. Or if it's not going to change it from being non-edible to being edible, it has to have a new purpose. It used to be that I couldn't make tea out of it, now I can. It used to be that it wasn't a drink which is appropriate to drink when I just want a nice drink. Now I can drink it because it's at the right temperature. Or it used to be that this water was not fit to be used in order to take a shower. Now I can't take a shower with it. But that's the rule of thumb when it comes to any malacha on Shabbos. It's going to have a significant purpose. It can't just be that there's a molecular change in it. Oh, you know, now it's hotter. Being hot doesn't make something cooked. It has to actually have a change. So now what constitutes something as cooked? So we saw the Gemara, again, I recorded again in source number 17. Whether you're dealing with oil or you're dealing with water, the halacha is yad soled despo aser. If you take it to the temperature of yad soled despo, it is going to be aser. Source number 18, the Gemara asks the question of hechidam yad soled despo. What is yad soled despo? At what point is something called yad soled despo? So what does soled despo mean? If you just look in source number 19, Rashi writes, nimsheches la'achoreha midaiga shlo techve. It's the temperature that you will pull your hand back because you don't want to get burnt. But now the Gemara gives a qualitative description of this. The Gemara says, Amar rechava kol shekreso shetinek nechves. The temperature is, if the stomach of an infant will be burnt by this water, that is considered yatzulat despo. Now the problem is that we don't want to try this. We're not going to want to try this at home to see at what point the water is going to reach yatzulat despo. So if we have to give a real number, a number to what is considered yatzulat despo, it's very difficult. So the poskim worked very hard on this. In the Piskei Tshuva, which I'm quoting in source number 21, he writes, you can't just make this up. You can't put your hand in the water and say, you know what, at what point in time it can no longer tolerate the water. So that's not going to work. You have to make sure, we're dealing with something which could potentially be a violation of a biblical prohibition. You can't just leave it to every person to decide, because again, you could have literally a hair's breadth between person violating a biblical prohibition and being 100% mutter. So therefore, we have to come up with a real description of what's going to be considered yad soled despo. Now, the poskim looked through various different gemaras. I don't want to bore you with all the details, but there are different places in Shas where it discusses the temperature of yad soled despo. It has to do with shechita, and they were able to measure the base of shechita, the place of the shechita, to figure out where they shechted an animal, to figure out what temperature it is, and from that they were able to determine a temperature. At the end of the day, I've quoted over here in source number 24, 25, and 26, three different opinions. Source 24 is Reb Moshe Feinstein. He writes that it is mem gimel ma'alos Celsius, 43 degrees Celsius, which is approximately 110 Fahrenheit. And in source number 25, which is actually, it jumps up to the next page, that is the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa quoting of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and he writes it's 45. So he gives you another 2 degrees Celsius. And in source number 26, this is the Shailos HaTshuvos Aral HaTzion, it is Ben Tzion HaBashol HaSfaradik Posek from Eretz Yisrael. He is much more machmer. He says you only have up until 40, which is, I don't have my metric system, my calculator in my head worked out right now, but it's somewhere between 100 and 110. Now, the truth is, if you think about it, it's not very hot. It's really not very hot. It's not nowhere near a boiling point, about 100 degrees too shy of it. So it's not very hot, but it's a point where you'd consider it to be significantly warm. At that point in time, that is when a person is chayav and bishul. Now, it's very interesting. We're not going to discuss this today. But that being the case, just think about it like this. Once water gets to this temperature, it really has a significant kula. Because if you have water that reached 100, and let's just give a number where everyone will agree, it reached 120 degrees before Shabbos. Now the halacha is, once it's cooked, this has a halachic definition of being cooked, you're allowed to bring that water to a boil now. How exactly you're going to get it back on the flame is a different discussion. But once water reaches 110 degrees, it's considered cooked. So now to bring it all the way up to a boiling point, Shulchan Aruch Rav says it would be mutter. So we'll discuss some practical examples of where that could be relevant. Maybe another time. You know what? Let's just throw one of them in. Often an urn has a little tube on the outside. Okay? Now that tube presents a halachic problem, because you have water inside the urn, the hot water urn, which is boiling. It's at a boiling point. It's maybe not 212 degrees, but it's quite hot. It's in a kli rishon. Now, when you pull the lever, what ends up happening is that water in the tube goes down and it can go back inside the urn. Now, if it goes back inside the urn, if the water inside that tube is not hot, you are really, in essence, cooking that water because you're allowing it to go back in the pot. Now, think of it like this. If that water that was in the tube was at one point in the urn and it reached the boiling, the halachic definition of cooking. So now, if it goes in that tube and stays, because it's really very close to the urn, it stays 120 degrees, The fact that it goes back into the urn and now reaches 200 degrees is not a problem. Not all posts can agree with this, but that would be an advantage in such a case.
But it has to stay
at Yatzeletespo? Has to stay at Yatzeletespo. The truth is, Rav Moshe writes that even if it goes under Yatzeletespo, since for Ashkenazim, we paskin that as long as it doesn't go, it's not Netztani in Legamri, as long as it's not cold. But we're gonna, again, that's a hard, it's a hard area to define. Because remember, our definition of being cooked is a pretty low temperature, 115 degrees, right? So what's considered Netztani in Legamri? Does it have to be freezing? Obviously not. So again, it's about a 10 degree difference. But ultimately, yeah, if it can go under Yatzeletespo, but not too much under Yatzeletespo. So if it's, let's just give a number, about 100 degrees or 95 degrees, so then it's still fine for it to go back in. Okay, but now I want to get into our discussion. So now we know what the temperature you have to bring water to in order for it to be considered cooked, which is Yatzeletespo, anywhere between about 110, 120 degrees. So that is what the water has to look like. Now, how? What medium can be used to cook something which would be considered a violation of cooking? Is it any heat source? So we're going to see that that's not the case. In source number 27, the Mishnah writes, a nosnan beitza betzad amecha, a person may not put an egg at the side of a pot which is cooking. Bishvil shetiskalgal, that the egg will roll. Just a little science 101. If you have an egg which is raw, try to spin it, it's not going to spin. Okay? If you cook it, the egg will spin. That's what it means. Bishvil shetiskalgal, that it should roll, which ultimately is the term which means that it will cook. So you want to cook an egg and make it into a hard-boiled egg. You're not allowed to put it at the side of a pot, of a hot pot, so it should cook. V'lo yafki ena besudarim, you can't break it open onto a hot cloth. Rabbi Yossi Mata. Rabbi Yossi says it's okay. But clearly the Mishnah is saying you cannot break an egg onto a hot cloth. Why? Because the cloth is going to cook it. And the Gemara says as follows. We're just going to skip to the point in the Gemara, which is important for us, in source number 28. Amar of Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Bechama, to cook in the actual sun, in other words, to use the sun as a heat source to cook, Dekuli amo lo pligi deshari. There's absolutely no disagreement. Everyone agrees that you're allowed to cook in the sun. Okay? So, if you have a really hot day, and the sun is very concentrated in one area, it is 100% mutter to take a pot and put it outside in the sun and allow the pot to heat up the water. On Shabbos. On Shabbos. It's mutter. It's not really so practical because it's hard to get the sun to be condensed or focused in one particular area. I've seen these contraptions where you set up a bunch of mirrors in different angles where you could really kind of trap the sun from all different angles, which could really heat up water pretty hot, but that would be mutter.
But it's also not saying the sun that heats a rock and you put your pot on the rock.
Exactly. It has to be the actual sun that's hitting it. Ki pligi betoldas chama. I'm sorry, we skipped one. Bechamad kuli ama lo pligi deshari. In the sun, everyone agrees, it's mutter to cook. Betoldas ha'or, with something which was heated up by fire, for example, you have a frying pan sitting on top of a stove and it has a fire underneath. Now the frying pan is boiling hot. Now you take the frying pan off of the fire and you break an egg into it. Everyone agrees that that is asr. That's an isr midoraisa. Why? Because that was heated up by fire, and the fact that there's no fire there now is irrelevant because its heat came from the fire. Ki pligi betoldas chama. The machlokis between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim is when something is heated up by the sun. Marasavar gazrina told us chama, atu told us or marasavar lo gazrina. So think of it like this. You have two frying pans. One of them is sitting on top of a fire, top of your stove, and it gets really hot. You have another frying pan that you put on your roof, and it's baking in the sun. You take the two frying pans inside your house, and you put them on the table. Okay? One of them, if you break an egg into it, would be a violation of an Issur Midoraisa because it was heated by a real fire. The other one was heated by the sun. So now, can you tell the difference between the two of them? The answer is no. So the Chachamim, they say that Toldos Chama is Asar Midrabana. Since you can very easily mix up a Toldos Chama with Toldos Ha'or, in other words, a secondary heat from fire and secondary heat from the sun, they're identical, so therefore there's an Issur Midrabanan to cook in that. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, he says it's fine. But ultimately, what's important from here is for us to understand these two things. Chama, to cook in the actual sun, is 100% mutter. It's fine. Toldos Chama is an Issur Midrabanan. We pass against an Issur Midrabanan. Now, Rashi explains, Chama, it's on the top of the next page, Chama means Shemesh, literally the sun. Deshari, now this is important, Rashi says, the reason why it's mutter to cook in the sun is the Ein Derech Bishulo Bekach. It's not normal to cook in the sun. So Rashi is explaining the reason why it is mutter, why it is permissible for somebody to cook something in the sun, because that's not a normal way of cooking. Don't cook in the sun. Rashi says, and don't ask me that maybe there should be an Issur Midrabanan. No need. There's no need for an Issur Midrabanan because nobody is going to mix up the sun with a regular fire. That's just not something that's realistic. No one's going to start saying, you know what, if you can cook in the sun, you can cook in your barbecue grill. It's just not the same. So it's not normal to cook that way, and it doesn't even resemble normal cooking, so it's not Asur Midoraisa, and it's not even Asur Midrabanan. It is perfectly fine. Now, in the Sefer Keri Sefer written by the Mabit, which is a commentary on the Rambam, he writes, and I underline that, the Bishul lo havi ela ba'or v'toldosav, dehachi nami havi b'samanei ha-mishkan. Again, where do we learn all the prohibitions, all the prohibited acts on Shabbos from? We learn it from the Mishkan. It's all learned from the Mishkan. Now, what they used in the Mishkan to cook was fire. And anything short of fire is not a normal way of cooking. Okay? So Rashi says the reason why you're allowed to cook in the sun is because it's not normal. In the Mabit, in Kiryas Sefer, he writes that the only real issue of cooking on Shabbos is with fire. Anything short of fire is not a problem with Bishul. Now, just to clarify, we have many different forms of fire now. We have a lot of electrical fire as well, which he may not have been addressing. That would have a regular halacha as like fire. If you have a heating element, an electrical heating element, which gets hot, that would be fire. For all intents and purposes, that's fire. What he's discussing is the sun. The sun is not fire, so therefore it's mutter to use that to cook. Rav Moshe, in this tshuva over here in 32, we're not going to read the whole thing, but Rav Moshe, he is really discussing a shaila of cooking in a microwave. Now, a microwave, there are technical issues with cooking in a microwave besides for the issue of cooking, because how are you going to get the thing on? Right? How do you turn my microwave on Shabbos? There's all kinds of electric components just to get it on. But say you figured it out. All right, you figured out how to program your microwave to go on Shabbos, where you can be able to open the door and the light won't go on. You figured it out. You're one of these guys who's able to get it done, and you figured it out. You have a Shabbos clock, and you've programmed it, whatever it is. You figured out that you can get your microwave to go on at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and at 11:57, you put food in there, you close the door, boom, it goes on. See, it's difficult to come up with a good case because even that case, you didn't really do it. You put it in a place where it was going to cook. It's similar to a discussion in the Gemara in Beitza, which discusses if many different people were involved in the process of cooking, who was chayiv. But again, let's just say you figured out a way to get your microwave on. That's what Ramosha is discussing. Now, Ramosha explains that this Mabit, what he was saying was, and he explains that really Rashi and the Mabit are saying the exact same thing. And what they both mean is, let me just see if I can find the actual words. Yeah, it's right there at the beginning. So he starts off by writing, it's at the end of the area that I underline. He writes, the ein hakavana, the ein derech bishol bekach, kahad the osam alacha kal acha yodav ashar shenuyim. He says, don't think that Rashi means it's not the derech. We know there's a concept of doing something kal acha yada with a shinoi, or doing something backwards. You know, use the back of your hand, use your toe, use your elbow, use your neck. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that it's considered a shinoi. Rather, Ramosha explains that it's not derech bishol, and that's why it wouldn't be a tolda. We didn't discuss the differences between an av and a tolda, but for the most part, just in general, an av is the actual malacha that was done in the process of building the Mishkan. A tolda is really the same thing. You'll have the same final outcome, but it's just done in a different way. So Ramosha is saying, one would think that using the sun would be a tolda. In the Mishkan, they used fire. That's the av malacha. That's the primary malacha that was done in the Mishkan. But using the sun would be a tolda, because you have the same final product, but it's just done by a different medium. Says Rav Moshe that Rashi in them a bit were saying was, no, sun, using the sun is such a backwards way of cooking, it's not even considered a tolda. Okay? But again, the halachas remains the same. Using the sun to cook is mutter. The question is why Rashi says it's not normal. Mabit says because it's not fire. Rav Moshe says they both mean the same thing, that fire is the av malacha, and the sun is so not normal, it's not even a tolda. Now we're going to get into the discussion of using hot water, which comes from a solar panel. Now it's very interesting. The first tshuva that I'm bringing here is from Rav Avadya Yosef. I think most of us know who Rav Avadya Yosef was. He passed away just about 2-3 years ago. He was arguably the biggest Sephardi posek in recent history, and he literally got the Sephardic movement. He was the leader of the Sephardim. He was the leader of the Sephardic Jewry over the past 100 years. I don't know if 100 years, but at least 50 years. Now, what's interesting, what I find most interesting in this tshuva, is his knowledge and how things work, and we see it also throughout other poskim. But I think we'll read the beginning of it inside, even though it's a bit long, but he explains to us how this water heater works. At least we have a comprehensive understanding of what happens over here. So Reishis Kol, there's an Aleph there. It's in source number 33. There's an Aleph. It says, Reishis Kol, Aleinu Leva'er B'Ketzara Es Tzara Techni Shal Dura Shemesh. First of all, we have to explain the technical operation of this machine called a Dud Shemesh. Hine, Hadud Shemesh, literally Dud means a tank and Shemesh means the sun. Hadud Shemesh Asli B'tzuras Chavash Shemateches. It is a barrel of metal. Atuf B'chomer Bidud Ha'asli L'shmor Ha'chom Ha'mayim Shlo Yitzdanenu. It is a metal barrel which is insulated. It's like this, the heat will not escape. K'mayim Seha Thermos. It's literally a thermos. It's a huge thermos. V'tzinor Ha'mayim, there is a pipe of water. He writes, Abami Reshes Chevras Hamayim HaKolos, which comes from the public water supply. Nichnas Beshulei HaChavis, goes into the floor of this chavis, this tank. So if you'll notice it, this picture over here, actually depicts it in a very, you have it on the back of your paper, but it makes it into a very simple, simplified view. So here it's a little bit missing from the actual water supply of the city. But here, this pipe over here is going to be the public water supply. Cold, it's blue. The blue cold pipe, that's the public water supply, goes into the bottom of the tank. Ulumaso, an opposite, yotzet tzinor acher b'shulei achavas, v'sofo sasin ba'ofam sh'in yitziei menu. Next to that pipe, there is another pipe, which goes out of the tank, and at the end of it, it's closed. Okay? It's closed. A big long pipe goes out and it's closed. V'hu mashuach b'tzeva shachar. It is pulled in a black color. Hashem yitiv'o l'racheiz chom ha-shemesh elov. Its nature is to pull, to centralize the sun against it. V'alatzinar azel luach zechuchas. On top of this pipe is a board of glass. Shematarosso gamkein l'racheiz chom ha-shemesh. Its goal is also to, I guess, to focus the sun into one place, leval yishla tu bo haruchas hamanashos tamid, and it protects it from the wind that blows all the time. So in English, okay, you have this pipe that comes up from the public water supply. It puts water into the tank. On the opposite side of the tank, you have a pipe which goes into this panel. Now in this panel, you have a bunch of copper pipes which go back and forth. It sits in a position where it focuses against the sun, where the sun focuses most of the day. It's covered by a glass sheet. It's like this, the wind shouldn't blow against it. The sun bakes down on these copper pipes with the water in it, and the sun provides heat, which heats up the water. Now what happens to the water inside those pipes? So Ravadia Yosef explains. He writes, V'tachteim boim mayim tzonunim. What happens is the water goes back into the tank, and instead of it comes cold water. Now, in this parenthesis, he writes, which is, by the way, Rabbi Yosef never studied science, but he just writes, Kiteva ha-mayim ha-chamin lalos v'lotzef l'mayl. Hot water, by nature, rises to the top. V'lotzef l'mayl al-pnei ha-mayim ha-tzonunim. What happens is, whenever you have hot water and cold water in the same place, the hot water will always go to the top, and the cold water will go to the bottom. And he brings Rias from several different places in Shas to this concept. And he says, of course, everybody knows that hot water is lighter than cold water. And he brings a bunch of Rias from oil and from different places, Mayim Ra'im, Mayim Tovim. And he says it's obvious that what's going to happen is when the water gets hot inside this apparatus, it's going to escape to the top of the chavis. And therefore, what's going to end up happening is your chavis will look like this. All the hot water will go to the top. All the cold water will stay to the bottom. The cold water will have its chance to run through this pipe. And then it's automatically going to go to the top. And the thing goes around and around and around. Continues getting hotter and hotter and hotter. Okay, so that's how it works. So in case we just clarified exactly how this works. Now, what happens when you open up your faucet in your house? This is your faucet in your house. They stretch a pipe to the top. Obviously, they only want the tap water to come in. They'll stretch a pipe to the top. You open up your faucet, and the hot water comes in. It's as simple as that. Free hot water throughout most of the months in Israel. That's how it works. Now, the question is, can you use this on Shabbos? And what can possibly be wrong with this? Why not? The water is heated up by the sun. We just learned in the Gemara. When water gets heated up by the sun, you can use it. So, the first problem that comes to mind, and Rabbi Avadi Yosef brings this up, is what happens when you open up your faucet? When you open your faucet, you're going to allow water to go out of this tank, which in turn automatically allows more public water into the tank. Now, when you're allowing more public water into the tank, where is that water getting heated up? That's the question that we have here. In the pipes or in the tank of hot water? So that's the problem that he brings up. He says, you're right, that when this tank is a cold tank of water and it's closed on both sides, all the water in the tank is going to run through these pipes and it's going to get heated up directly by the sun. But now that it's all hot, you open up your tap inside your house, you open the faucet, out comes hot water. Now, as you pull hot water out of this faucet here, at the exact same time you'll be pulling more water from the city. Because it'll come back in through here, and where is it going to go? Into a boiling hot tank of water. What's the status of that water? That is probably toldos chama. That is something which is a secondary heat off of the sun. This should be similar to a frying pan that was heated by the sun. Right? This should be similar to a frying pan heated by the sun. And now you're going to pour water in there. We know that that's asmi drabanan. So Rav Avadi Yosef writes, it's a psik resha. There's absolutely no way to avoid this. It's not your kavana. When you open up the faucet, you don't care that the tank should fill up. You only need water right now to wash your dishes. You don't need it to fill up with more water for later. But it's inevitable that's going to happen. That's the problem that he raises. However, again, I spared you from many, many pages of tshuva. I skipped already. The second source is already paragraph number 36 in his tshuva.
But this would say that if you had some sort of way to prevent the public water from coming back in, then you could clear out your entire tank and be okay.
Absolutely. Now, there's a The Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, actually, we'll see that in source. Don't worry, we're not going to read through all this. But I didn't give it a number, but in this, on page 10, Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, he writes in the bottom, V'imbonoi dud Hashemesh b'tzura kazos, shenitin lahotzi mimenu mayim chamin, af im ein mayim karam nechnasin, you're able to take out hot water without any cold water going in. The yiskor tchila hetevis haberes shadarko zomemayim. You're able to close the faucet, which allows the water to come in. Then he says mutal hotzvinu shabbos kam. You're allowed to take hot water out. The problem is, this is a problem which is an obvious problem. And as a matter of fact, it's Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg, who was also a major posuk in Eretz Yisrael. He had a vast amount of knowledge. He was the posuk for Shaarei Tzedek. He writes that there's no way to do that, because if you're going to close the line that from your public water supply, you're not going to get any water out of the tank. It's impossible to get water out of the tank if there's no place for it to get air from.
You could create a vent system.
If you could create a vent system, they don't. To my knowledge, I'm not a professional dud installer, but to my knowledge, they don't have like a little screw off cap on the top, where you could just open it and say, you know what, I want to take water out until it's empty.
We got a patent here.
But yes, that's just a technical problem. If you want to see where the Tzitzel writes that, if you look in, on page 9, there's a gimel there. Here it's, Ubazeh o'ir ha'ara technis. I'm going to point out a technical problem. Demasha kasu kvo torosenu, kvo toroso. If you will close the pipe, he says it's not going to work. If you're going to close the pipe that supplies it, it's not going to come out. And he writes, the fact is, the way they're made, is if you're going to close off your public water supply, you're not going to get any water out of your faucet. It's just not going to work. So it's a technical problem. It's a nice idea, but it's just not going to work. Okay, but at the end of the day, let's just discuss this. So there are a lot of halachas that we have to really know before we understand this tshuva to its fullest. And it's going to be hard to go through all that in the amount of time we can spend here tonight. But basically, Rav Avadia Yosef ends up permitting it for another reason, because he explains as follows. And again, this is just a general outline. We'll have to discuss this in more detail. He writes that when you open up your tap to take water, what you're doing is you are removing something called a monea. In other words, why isn't there any water coming into the tank the whole time? Why isn't there water from the city filling up the tank? Because you have your tap closed. You opening your tap and allowing water to go out is not an action of pouring cold water into the tank. You're right, it's going to be a direct byproduct of your action, but your action itself is just removing something which was stopping the water from going in. And he says, since this is an issue midrabanan, again, cooking in Toldos Chama is midrabanan. Cooking in a secondary heat from the sun is midrabanan. So ultimately, he says it would be mutter to do this. If you want to see at the end, all the way at the end on page 8, by the membeis, Maskana dedina bahasa likna. At the end of the day, this is where we leave off. From the point of halacha, it is mutter for a person to open up the tap. You're allowed to open the tap of water that was heated in the Dud Shemesh, and to use it. You're allowed to open up the tap and take hot water out of your sink if it was heated up in one of these type of apparatuses. And he says you're also allowed to close it, even though closing, you think about it like this. You would think you could open it. But you know, the truth is, if you keep it open, the water will never get hot. Because it's just going to continue flowing. Maybe closing is the problem. Maybe closing is really where the problem is. He says, don't worry, close it also. V'ein lachash lizrimas hamayim ha'karam l'tocha. Don't worry about the water that's going inside this tank. V'atzinoros hayotzu menu v'musbashlam sham. You don't have to worry about it. Umiyu im efshar liskar ha'beres ha'ma'aver. In other words, if we have your idea where you can close it and not allow the public water to get in, go ahead and do that. But again, as we mentioned, it's not possible. Nachon lasses kain. K'day lots has been called pickbook. Like this, you'll be out of any questions. But ultimately, he says, it's mutter, a person is allowed to use the water that's heated up in such an apparatus on Shabbos. That is Rabbi Avad Yosef's final psak. If you live in Israel and you have one of these tanks on your roof, and the water gets heated up by the sun, you can wash your dishes on Shabbos with boiling hot water. Not a problem. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer, which is the next source, and source number 8, he really doesn't go for this whole idea of it being told as chama. Again, to go through the details is very hard to go through the details, but basically, he rejects this idea that it's considered told as chama. He says all the water gets heated up by the sun. The whole process gets heated up by the sun. And he brings up another very interesting point. And that is, there's a concept called a suffix psikresh. Let's just get something clear. Davar she'eh miskaven means I do something, my intention is to do A, and although I don't intend for something else to happen, it happens automatically. Okay? Pulling a bench on the ground. I have no interest in plowing my backyard. But if the bench is very heavy, and the ground is very, very soft, it's going to make a furrow in the ground. So, that's davar she'eh miskaven. I pulled it because I wanted to get the bench from going to point A to point B. It's mutter to do that. Unless I know for sure it's going to make a furrow. That's the halacha. If I don't know if it'll make a furrow or not, I don't know if it's going to scratch the ground, it's mutter to pull it. If I know it's going to do it, then I can't do it. Let's say I have a case where there is very clear information which would answer my question whether it's going to happen or not. But I just don't know. Our case, I have a big tank full of hot water. If I open the tap, hot water is going to come out. Now cold water is going to go in. Now I have absolutely no idea how hot the water is in the tank now. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. Right? Overnight, it was cold. Your slime is cold at night. Not cold, but it's cool. So at night, the water that sits in the tank, you took a shower at night, you used your hot water. 10 o'clock in the morning, it's been sunny since about 6. I don't know what temperature the water is in the tank. So if the water is a nice, good 150 degrees, so then, or that's not even so hot, let's say 200 degrees, when the water goes in from the city, it's going to get cooked. But if the water is only at 90 degrees now, then the water that goes in won't get cooked. So says Tzitz Eliezer, it's not even a real psik resha that you're going to be cooking the water. It's very possible that you won't even cook water. So on top of all that, he writes at the end, that's where on page number 10, he writes, Ela de benidunenu yish otzi den achalatera dolo bar shezeh bachlal psikresha. We're not even sure that it's a psikresha. We're not even sure that it's going to cook. And he goes on at the end, b'hanach tinan, the last paragraph. This is where we end off. B'hasalkina l'haskim b'psak halacha im kvo taroso l'hatir hashimush b'shabbos b'mayim medudei shemesh. Again, Rabbi Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg, in the Sefer called Tzitz Eliezer, he also is of the opinion that you're allowed to use the hot water that comes from a Dut Shemesh on Shabbos. He writes, v'yosod ha-heter, the foundation to this heter is, ha-ikari v'yosodi hu mepnei she'ein zeki im maim shehuchamu b'chamei chama demutter. It is water which is heated up by the sun, or a product of the sun. It's the heat of the sun that heats it up, and that's why it is mutter. That's where he answers his tshuva. Now, in the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa is where it gets very interesting. I'm quoting to you two different paragraphs written from two different versions of the Sefer. Look how things evolve in the Sefer. In the first one, this is the first version of Shmir Shabbos Kachasa. He writes, Mutter lahotzi mayim chamin midut shemesh. A person is allowed to take hot water out of a dut shemesh. Ki im hamayim gam im hamayim neschamu bo b'Shabbos. Even if the water was heated up on Shabbos, hafilu im nechnasim im kama mayim karam l'dudim neschamu l'adei achamen. Clear. Okay, this is a sefer written by Rav Neuwirth, Neuwirth in English. He was a Talmud of Shlomo Zalman, and he wrote clearly in the sefer, if you have one of these hot water heating apparatuses that work through the sun, you can use the hot water on Shabbos, even if new water goes in and gets cooked. And on the bottom in the Ha'ara, he explains something which is really novel. He explains something, he just takes the whole thing and brushes it off. He says, what's your problem? Your problem is that the water from the city is getting heated up by the water in the tank, which is considered toldas chama. He says, that's not a problem. The only reason why Chazal said you can't heat something up in toldas chama is, as we explained, because it's identical. Right? You have a pan, which is heated by the sun, and a pan heated by a fire. They look exactly the same. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, or the truth is, I should say, he doesn't say Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says, Gadol Echad. I have heard that this is Rav Shlomo Zalman. I believe it is. The next one for sure is Rav Shlomo Zalman. It could be this is Rav Avadi Yosef. But the idea here, he's saying is, the thing is called a Dud Shemesh. Nothing in there resembles a regular frying pan. This doesn't look the same as anything else. Look at it. He says, Kimat Tam Asru Toldos Chama. Why did Chazal say that a product of the sun is Asr? Gezera Atu Toldos Ha'ar. It's a Gezera because it looks like a product of the sun. Zesh Shayach Beshar Dvar. This is relevant by other things. Kimo Sudar, like a sheet. Or chamitveria, we didn't discuss that. Or a frying pan. People could think that, you know, this frying pan was heated up by fire. Everybody knows how the water got heated up in this tank. There's a big panel there. Says, no problem. You're allowed to open the water. The fact that the water gets heated up by the sun is not a problem. The fact that it gets heated up by a product of the sun is not either a problem because it can't be confused with anything else. Everybody knows how this works. No issues. You can imagine what happened after he wrote this. He faced a tremendous amount of backlash. This is not atypical for these things to happen. He faced a lot of backlash, and therefore when the second version came out, if you see how he wrote it here, in the second version, Tov Lihimana, it is proper to refrain. Milahotzi b'Shabbos Mayim Chamim Midud HaShemesh, to take water out of a Dud Shemesh, im nechnasim b'mkomim l'dud Mayim Karim v'im Eschama Edei Chamim. If you're going to have water, in other words, he faced enough backlash, he wrote in the second version of the Sefer, that if you're going to have water going into the tank and being heated up by the water in the tank, then you shouldn't do it. And he explains on the bottom, the reason is because in the later versions of the Dud Shemesh, they added in a heating element. And it's very important to have the heating element there because you can't always rely on the sun. If you have a couple of rainy days in the winter, you won't have hot water in your house. So they added in a heating element. You have a switch in your house, which goes to the roof. It heats up the water. So now he says, you know what? Now my svar is not so strong anymore. Because I was saying it can't be confused. Because it won't be confused. Everybody knows the water is heated up by the sun. But once, sometimes the water is heated by the sun, sometimes by your element, so then, he said, don't do it anymore. But you should just know, I've heard from very reliable sources that Rav Shlomo Zalman never backed down. He held to the day he died. It is mutter to use these things on Shabbos.
Even with the heating element.
Even with the heating element.
And the concept of the heating element, because you couldn't actually put the heating element on in Shabbos.
Of course not, right, yeah, right.
It's automatic.
Again, we're talking about where it's heated up by the sun. Right, we're talking about a case where it's heated up by the sun. The question is, the fact that there is an element, does that make a difference? Again, the last source I'm bringing is the Chashuk Chemet. It's Rabbi Zilberstein. He is Rabbi Yashua's son-in-law. So again, he quotes a lot of what we're saying. Then he brings from his father-in-law, Rabbi Yashua, it's the last source on the page. His father-in-law said it was Aser. But he said, for a Yoledes, who you're allowed to heat water up for on Shabbos, you're better off doing this. In other words, it's Aser, but it's better than other things. So what comes out of all this? At the end of the day, what comes out of this is, we have some poskim like Rav Avadia Yosef, like the Tzitz Eliezer, they're both of the opinion that it is 100% mutter to use this on Shabbos, as long as the water is heated up by the sun. We also have poskim who were against Rabbi Yashiv, namely, was one of them. Chatzkov Bramsky as well was against it. There were many other poskim who didn't like the idea. So the general practice is that people don't use it. But if there's ever a reason why someone needs to have hot water, right away they're matur. So in other words, b'makom tzarach, if someone's not well, or in any case you need to use hot water, right away, that will be the first thing that they're going to be matur. Because, again, pointing to the isser would be that it's toldos cham. But there's so many different reasons we can put together that would say it is mutter, and therefore, in any case where a person needs to use hot water on Shabbos, a baby was born, you have to clean the baby, a woman just gave birth and she needs to take a shower, a woman's in labor, she needs to take a shower, whatever it might be, a chola is not feeling well, he needs to take a shower. Okay, so taking a shower is a different issue because it could be this problem. There are other issues of taking a shower, washing your whole body on Shabbos. But the general idea, the person ever needs to have hot water, this would be the first place you'd start. If you have a Dut Shemesh, it would be mutter. You know, we have to start marketing these in America a little bit more. But most of us, I think all of us, have a boiler in our basement, which only works through this process. But if you ever find yourself in Eretz Yisrael, this would be a relevant shaila. And I'll tell you a case where it makes a difference on a week-to-week basis. I know there are people who, if you have a faucet that has only one piece that does the hot and the cold. So there are many people who are careful to shut off the hot water before Shabbos because if you test it, often you'll see that it doesn't seal up. When you go down cold, it doesn't seal up the hot all the way, and it's very easy to flip to the hot. So many people, they're going to turn off their hot water to avoid this issue. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not necessary. Because even if you're going to mistakenly get a few drops of hot water there, there are so many poskim who say it's mutter l'chatchil. It's perfectly fine. So therefore, you don't have to make yourself crazy. That would be a practical difference for the average folk in Eretz Yisrael. And hopefully we should all be zeichet to go to Eretz Yisrael very soon and use our Dut Shemesh. Have a wonderful night.